Good evening, everybody. I'd like to welcome everybody to the Emmett County Board of Commissioner meeting, January 19th, 2023, 6 o'clock. This meeting is called to order. Please stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Could you call the roll call?
Commissioner Lothbaum?
Here.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Here.
Commissioner Mapes?
Here.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Here.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Here.
Commissioner White?
Here.
Commissioner Koontz?
Here. Okay, we're looking for the approval of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Is there any discussion over the agenda? If not, call the roll.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Lothbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner Koontz?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Okay, motion is passed. So we're looking for an approval for the minutes of January 3rd, organizational meeting, and January 9th, the first regular meeting.
So moved.
Second.
A motion and a second. Any discussion on the minutes?
Just to confirm, Susie, you and I already sent you an email about this, but the letter that I wrote at the 9th will be in the
yes.
minutes online. Right?
Yes, it will.
Any other discussion? Call the roll.
Commissioner Koontz?
Yes.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Lothbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
We come to the time of the meeting for public comment. Anybody wishing to speak, go ahead and step up to the podium. You get 3 minutes.
I'm Bob Wiley. My wife and I have lived at Crooked Lake for the last 15 years. I'm a retired physician. There's an elephant in the room. We cannot see it, but it's here. It's the dark force behind the pandemic and several other things that are causing some cognitive dissonance. It's also one of the causes, perhaps, of what some people call the plandemic instead of the pandemic. In Wuhan, China, in 2003, Dr. Fauci, Bill Gates started a groundwork for the plan that 17 years later resulted in COVID-19. The early planning involved patents for the virus. The virus was manufactured in the Wuhan Bioweapons Lab. The virus did not come from a bat. The vaccine was an essential part of the Fauci-Gates plan. Who funded the research of the virus and the vaccine? There were many sources, but a large part of the money came from our own CDC. You, the board, as well as prior boards, are made up of honest people working very hard for the best of the community and citizens that you represent. You are not doctors or scientists. Like the rest of us, you have been dependent upon the expert advice to get us through the challenges of COVID-19. Flatten the curve became one of the first exposed lies. We continued to learn that we could not trust the experts, and we learned to not trust our government. Many of the experts have been proven to be self-serving and dishonest. We are victims of the deadly lies spread around the world by a group of wicked scientists who created the COVID-19 as a bioweapon in a careless level 4 bioweapons lab in China. These scientists use unethical and illegal use of gain-of-function technology. These scientists and greedy entrepreneurs like Bill Gates with the help of CDC money and eager cooperation from pharmaceutical companies, produce the so-called vaccines. But in military terms, they are also bioweapons themselves and are referred to as countermeasures. I'll be just doing half of my presentation now and the other half later, but let me know when my 3 minutes is up for this part.
You've got 20 seconds.
Money?
You've got 20 seconds.
Okay. Your board and the Board of Health, together with cooperative community efforts, work through the government red tape and the roadblocks to deal with the lockdowns and mandates and testing procedures and protocols. This was all made more difficult by the state and federal officials that were often operating in self-interest instead of public good. So I'll be back at the end of the meeting.
Thank you. Anybody else want to speak?
John Swartout, Bear Creek Township. Mr. Chairman, as you know, Rule 5 of your Rules of Procedure requires that without a majority vote to waive the rule, all agenda items requiring a vote of the board will be supported by a proposed motion to be distributed to commissioners at least 3 days prior to a meeting. The purpose of this rule is to avoid as much as possible governing on the fly. That's a good rule. Haste is one of reason's many enemies. At the September 29, 2022 Board of Commissioners meeting, where a transit discussion was the sole agenda item, there was no proposed motion for consideration on the agenda, and there was no motion to waive the advance notice rule. Nevertheless, the following motion was made and carried at that meeting: to direct the county administrator to develop a plan to expand public transit services in Emmett County using existing outside transit providers and allocate ARPA funds for the next 5 years not to exceed $450,000 for that purpose. Further, a working group of transit stakeholders to include the Little Traverse Bay Bands of Odawa Indians, Friendship Center, and North Central Michigan College will be created to help develop the expanded services. The working group will be appointed by the Board of Commissioners and coordinated by the county administrator. Mr. Chairman, this resolution is a good example of why commissioners should have at least a few days, not a few minutes, to consider substantive motions before voting on them. The most obvious flaw in this motion is that it puts the cart before the horse. The board committed to spend up to $450,000 pursuant to a five-year plan it hasn't seen yet and failed to specify any follow-up oversight by this board. Well, thankfully, the board didn't permanently abdicate its responsibility by creating an independent transit authority with its own taxing power. The board did vote to transfer much of that responsibility to a working group for 5 years. Another obvious flaw is that in directing the county administrator to develop a plan to expand public transit services, the board failed to define the limits of the problem that it wants the plan to solve. So how are you, the board, and we, the public, supposed to know if the plan is succeeding or failing? It looks as if the board simply put $450,000 on the table and punted just to make the issue go away for 5 years. I would like to see this board make the issue go away permanently by recognizing that it isn't the county's job to try to make mass transit work economically outside of an urban setting. There are other serious flaws, but my 3 minutes are about up. I think this resolution was made in haste, contrary to the board's own rules. I think it's reckless to spend that much of the public's money with so little deliberation, and I think the board should reconsider while it still can before any of the money is spent. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Who's next? Anybody else want to speak at the mic? Go ahead, Bill. Welcome.
I think I know a few people here this evening. My name is Bill Shorter. I'm a member of the County Sanitary Board of Appeals. I'd like to qualify that I'm here representing myself and not any other members of that board. I'd like to comment regarding agenda item number one under unfinished business, Sanitary Board of Appeals resolution. I'm going to propose one minor change to it, and I suppose you can't get your computers to that point quickly, but it would be from the signature line on the resolution, it would be first one that as you move up, I'm proposing a minor change. an agreement with the resolution of January 19th, 2023, the County Board of Commissioners for the Unaccounted Sanitary Court Board of Appeals. I feel that staggered terms are a must. I think it's an excellent idea. I also think that the educational training is a huge plus for the members of the board. We had one such meeting, and it was done by the attorney that's with Northwest Health Department, and it was excellent. We got some excellent coverage. The only excerpt or the item that I'm concerned with, it would be in the resolution, like I say, one up from the bottom from the signature page for the chairman. Be it further resolved that the recognition of the decision-making nature of the SCBOA prior to attending the first meeting, at which a vote may be taken, and annually thereafter, the SCBOA members shall attend educational training designed for Michigan Sanitary Code. I believe the Michigan Sanitary Code should be replaced with a simple amendment to what you could do the resolution, if you could write it down for the resolution. It could be replaced with the Health Department of Northwest Michigan. The balance of the resolution remains the same, beginning with the Board of Appeals members. My reasoning there is there isn't really a Michigan Sanitary Code. Under Authority Acts 368 and Public Acts of 1978, the District Board of Health and enact these regulations for the protection of public health and sanitation. These regulations should be known as the District Sanitary Code. And all counties at that time were given the same ability to do that. Oakland has its own, I believe. There are a lot of them that have. Sheboygan is connected with by Rogers City, also Mackinac County and the UP. So it really isn't factual. With that Michigan Sanitary Code. I know there is a move on some members throughout the state that would like to make a sanitary code the entire state of Michigan, which probably is not a very good idea since we all have different types of soils, etc. And I think the people that are involved in the counties know exactly where the better conditioned soils are for finding sanitary devices for the property. So that's all I have, and I thank you very much for listening. You have a great evening.
Thank you, Bill. Anybody else want to speak at the mic?
My name is John Tillotson. I'm from Bear Creek Township. I would like to address the board about the importance of our election system. It is my understanding that this board will at some time vote for new members to the Hamilton County Board of Election Canvassers. I ask the board to choose these officials carefully because the canvassers have a very important job. A month ago, I was an observer of a recount of the 2022 election that was held in Charlottesville. This recount didn't change the election outcome, but it did uncover many disturbing shortcomings in our election system. I want to start by saying that I'm not picking on a particular county or a particular office or a particular person. It was obvious that many counties had precincts that were not recountable. Antrim, Charlevoix, and Emmett counties were recounted that day, and they all seemed to suffer from similar issues. The one observation that shocked me the most was it really wasn't a local recount. The election personnel from the state were running the recount with a heavy hand. The boards of canvassers were seated off to the side and sat idle all day. The board of canvassers seemed to not have a say in how the recount was conducted. I think that this is a big problem. By law, our election system is decentralized for a good reason. When the state comes in and runs the show, many of the checks and balances built into the law are lost. So my first suggestion about what to look for in a canvasser would be one that would take responsibility for their county and just not let the state run it for them. Another observation was a mismatch between what the state officials demanded and what our election officials thought was sufficient. The ballot containers were sealed in a tamper-proof manner, but they were rejected by the state officials. the Board of Canvassers should understand what the law actually requires and assure that personnel, local personnel, receive the proper training so that they can execute their duties. When the state official arbitrarily deems that it was what the local officials did was not sufficient, I would hope that the local Board of Canvassers would defend the actions of our local officials as being adequate, which, in my opinion, I thought they were. So the second thing is I would like to have canvassers, again, take responsibility for the election rather than just letting the state do it. Another thing that I observed was, you know, all three counties were there. They all had defects. And each board of canvassers for each of the three counties that were there, they declined to investigate further. They found all kinds of defects.
Time's up.
Okay. Well, get in the last word. The canvassers should consider the election integrity a higher priority than being nice to their friends.
Thank you. Anybody else wants to step up to the mic and speak? No one else coming up? So that closes public comment. We're time for the administrator's report.
Thank you. Good evening. Briefly tonight, you can see that I gave you a staffing report. I do that monthly. So you can kind of see where we are. You see the number of openings we have, where we are in the process. You can see the new hires we have, and then any changes that we have or resignations. So we provide that information to you the second meeting of the month. At the airport, January 11th, I think you might know that there was an FAA outage. All airports, they stopped flights. Good news at our airport, our flight that came in that day, our Delta flight, came in on time. It was scheduled for later in the afternoon. I think there was two cargo flights that were delayed a bit during the FAA shutdown. It wasn't something from our airport. It was the whole system went down. So our staff was there, and if anything happened, they were there to take care of it. I gave you one of the photos that from the Headlands Observatory, and hopefully it came out in color. This is one of the shots that they've taken, our group has taken up there, and it's what the telescope is able to see is incredible. So a lot of people up there still going there when we have those clear nights, but this is one of the shots from the telescope and the new camera that's in there. The Construction Resource Department, Marty is here tonight. You see they had another record year. Over 1,700 building permits were issued in 22. It's up from last year. Over 1,000 electrical permits is up again from 21. Mechanical permits were up again from last year, 1,650. So overall, we continue to see new growth in the county, which is good for us. Community Corrections, the last update, that we had talked about revamping that program. We are in the process of going through that. We're in our first quarter right now. And things seem to be going in the right direction there, and we'll continue improvements and continue to update the board what's going on with Community Corrections. That's what I have for you. Happy to answer any questions.
Okay, any questions for Dave?
Just a comment on that picture from the Headlands. It's amazing. I'm just glad to see it when I saw it in your report.
Yeah.
Are the counts still up as far as people? Quite high this summer.
They are still high. It slows down with the weather, unfortunately or fortunately. Without snow, we lose some of our cross-country skiers, our snowshoers. Hopefully, we get more snow.
The snowmobilers should be happy now today. Okay, so ready for the treasurer's finance report.
All right. So what I'm presenting tonight is a three-year comparison. This is of our November expenses. If you take a look, if you can pull up, Tatum, the revenue chart. If you take a look at this, you can see over the last 3 years, it's been really pretty steady. The one big increase you see is at the airport, and that has to do with the airport improvement grant that we received and the CARES Act money that we receive. So that's the main reason that's up as much as it is. And then if you can go to the next graph, the expenditures, again, you're going to see that the expenditures are up, but this year we finally had a full staffing, which we haven't had in the last couple of years. So that's one thing why you see increases. We also have some of the expenses, of course, have gone up. You have your gas, your utilities, and those types of things. But overall, we are on target to meet our budget on what we adopted in December for our final budget. So everything at this point is looking good.
Okay, do we have any questions for Pam? Okay, moving on. Going to unfinished business. We're looking for a motion for the Sanitary Code Board of Appeals resolution.
Mr. Chairman, can we divide this into two votes, two motions? I like the first part of the first motion, but the staggered terms, I think that's a great idea, but I'm not in favor of the educational training.
So where do we go from here? You're not in favor of the training, or what?
Correct.
Yep. Are you making the motion with the amendment that Mr. Schroeder?
I'll go ahead and make it that way, the first part of the motion. I move that the board approve the attached resolution to provide staggered terms for members serving on the Sanitary Code Board of Appeals.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
There's no second. The motion dies.
The motion dies. So
we continue on with the motion that's presented.
So we're looking for a motion.
I will, Chair. I'll make a motion to approve this with the caveat of the second resolution in this. Replace Michigan Sanitary Code Board of Appeals with our local designated health board.
Health department training,
yeah. Because there isn't a Michigan Sanitary Code for the whole state. It doesn't exist. There's bills in our legislature right now, and there have been for the past few years, of trying to get that passed, but it hasn't happened. So we're talking about something here that doesn't exist.
I'll support that motion.
Okay, so we have a motion and a support, and we're open for discussion on this.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to say I appreciate Bill Shorter's comments earlier tonight. He remembers it like I do. This Emmett County Code was done in the 1970s. A cousin of mine was on there. He was on there for over a year. There was at least one ad hoc committee, maybe two, and they went to a lot of meetings, went to a lot of different sites in Michigan, took a lot of pictures, saw a lot of different septic systems, and they had an attorney on that ad hoc committee named John Turnus. And they were quite diligent. They came up with a good code for Emmett County. And I would like it to stay in Emmett County. I don't want the state to be running our code. And I think if we, this educational training, so-called, I think it might be more towards indoctrination, designed to make the septic permit harder for citizens to get. And in Emmett County, if you can't get a sanitary code permit, you're not allowed to build a house. And if we are for more housing, I don't think we should make the code any more restrictive than it is. One thing I disagree with on the code is probably the only thing. The code does not allow for clean fill. You have to have 12 inches of ground above the water table. In the Emmett County code currently, it does not allow you to bring in clean sand to make a few more inches there of clearance. One thing I might suggest in the future, if we really want to help the citizens of Emmett County get these permits and build their homes, I think it would be a good idea to have an engineer on that board. Thanks.
Mr. Chair, go ahead.
Yeah, Yeah, so the code, as I understand it, is not an Emmett County code or a state code. It's from the Health Department of North Northwest Michigan code. It's a four-county area. They have a code that we all have agreed to follow. This whole thing came about in November. Health Department staff contacted Mr. McGinnis and I about concerns regarding the Sanitary Board Code of Appeals. We met with county staff then. We met with Health Department staff, the chair of the Sanitary Board of Appeals. Emmett County Attorney Joellen Shorley was there, and we discussed everybody's concerns. There was a conflict of understanding between the chair of the board and how he was interpreting what could be granted for a variance and what the health department said. And the chair asked for clarification from an attorney, and we got an opinion from James Young, who prepared the previous Sanitary Board of Appeals training, and he came up with that answer. And that's how we came out with the resolution that we'd have education be part of every year. The people on the Sanitary Board of Appeals would go through training to about the, and to see the standards for our code that we follow. And that's pretty standard procedure for professionals, right? When you're, if you have a license for something, you go through training. Sure, professional engineers go through regular training. Teachers go through regular training. And that seems to be the best way to solve that issue, that conflict, without ever, you know, there's no fingers being pointed. Just saying, hey, let's take a look every year. We can learn a little bit more if we're on that board. We can further our education. We can figure out the code, how it's interpreted, when it's appropriate to grant a variance, when it's not. Those questions like we had with the from the chair, those can be answered at that training with the attorney present. So to me, it just makes perfect sense, and the staggered terms make perfect sense. You don't want everybody quitting at one time, you know, right, turnover. Yep. So that's how it all came about, and that's how the education or the training part came in, and it just seems like good, solid, prudent procedure to me.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah, I'd like to comment on that. Thank you, Matt,
for
doing that, because yeah. I was reading through the minutes that were provided to us for this motion, and it seemed to be a lot of a lot of different interpretations of what the code said. You know, it seemed like there's an awful lot of fighting and disagreement going on.
It doesn't
there.
Have to be either.
No, that's should, nice you wouldn't about, think yeah. so. Yeah. So, yeah, thank you for that. It just kind of concurs what I was thinking.
Thank you.
Any other discussion?
Mr. Chairman, could we have that motion read back to us as it was changed?
I'm looking at Mr. Ahrens for this one because he never read the full motion.
Basically, we're just taking out the word Michigan and putting
in our
health department.
So just to clarify, that's not in the motion. That's in the resolution.
The resolution.
Yeah. Okay.
The motion would stay the same.
Sorry, you're right. Yeah. Okay. I stand corrected. So you could.
So I make motion to approve with the change.
So the motion that's written.
Okay, I think that's somewhat better.
Okay.
Originally.
Yeah. So we have a motion and a second. Is there any other discussion yet? We're looking for a roll call vote.
Commissioner Ginnup.
Yes.
Commissioner White.
Yes.
Commissioner Ahrens.
Yes.
Commissioner Lofbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Motion passes. So that's it for unfinished business. We'll come to the claims. We're looking for a motion for the claims and committees and travel vouchers.
I move for the payment of the claims in the amount of $2,890,660.62 and for payment of the committee and travel vouchers in the amount of $6,256.41.
I'll second. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Looking for a roll call vote.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Commissioner Kuntz?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Lofbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Motion carries, passes. So come to the new business. We're looking for a motion for the DPW Graham.
This is a grant for batteries that we accept. This is to help better educate the public on the ways to dispose of the batteries. We have had several fires from batteries that have not been disposed correctly, so this gives us a grant from the state of Michigan, from Eagle, and it will work on educating our staff and doing an education program for the community. No cost for us.
I'll make that motion. I move that the board approve entering into the TAPS grant agreement with the Michigan Department of Environment and Great Lakes and Energy Materials Management Division and authorize the county administrator to sign the same.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. We're looking for any discussion. Could we have a roll call?
Commissioner Loughbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Commissioner Koontz?
Yes.
Commissioner Mays?
Yes.
Motion passes. The Household Hazardous Waste Services Bid Award. Dave?
This is a bid that we put on the street for our Household Hazardous Waste Days. We have one company that's actually bid on this, and we've been doing the service for the last 6 years. ERG is the company that's been doing this for us. Any company out there doing it, we think it's a good bit. We've got a good working relationship with them.
All right, good. Do we have a motion for that?
I will, Chair. I move to approve the proposal from ERG Environmental Services for household hazardous waste collection. Authorize county administrator to sign the purchase order and any other required documents to facilitate the transaction.
I'll second. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Koontz?
Yes.
Commissioner Loughbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Motion passes. What, how do you pronounce this? MICRIS grant agreement?
This is DPW has been busy writing grants. This is another grant that they received from the state of Michigan. This will assist us with our compost. We know that compost at the facility. There is a cost to doing that. This will help us with our training. And you will see the next one is hiring a consultant to help us determine the best way with our pricing. Are we doing the procedures correctly? The organics that we take to the site. So this is a grant that we received for $10,000. You'll see the next thing on the agenda is to award that $10,000 to a company, are asked to come in and do it. So we do this first. It's a $10,000 grant.
Okay, so we're looking for the motion.
I'll make that motion. I move that the board approve entering into the TAPS grant agreement with the Michigan Department of Environment and Great Lakes and Energy Recycling Michaels grant and authorize the county administrator to sign the same.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Looking for a roll call.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Loughbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner Koontz?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Motion passes. So, go ahead, Dave.
You'll see on the next one is the taking that grant funding and working with the company. DPW will work with the company, RRS, to provide us technical support in looking at the operations that we have great compost for the county.
Okay. Looking for a motion for RRS.
Mr. Chair, I move to approve the proposal from RRS to provide technical support for DPW compost and organics operation and authorize county administrator to sign the attached contract on behalf of the entire Board of Commissioners.
Second that.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Could we have a roll call vote?
Commissioner Loughbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner Koontz?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnup?
Yes.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Next, we're talking about the Nelson Regional Airport proposal.
Yes, thank you. Tonight we have a couple increases, slight increases at the airport. In the December 20th airport committee met and had discussions on costs at the airport, our rising costs for facilities, our staff costs, equipment costs, everything. So before you tonight, you will see three changes. We had a slight increase in our landing fees and facility fees. There was a slight increase in the contractual fuel that was proposed, 5 cents for each tier, and then an adjustment on the facility fees that we charge planes to come into the airport. The committee has reviewed it and supported moving it forward to the board.
Okay, looking for a motion.
I'll do that motion. I move that the board approve the attached Dawson Regent Airport 2023 fee schedule.
Support.
We have a motion and support. Roll call. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Commissioner Ahrens?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
Commissioner Ginnell?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Koontz?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Loughbaum?
Yes.
Motion passes. Next, we have a bid award for a tractor. Go ahead, Dave.
This is a bid award for a piece of equipment for our maintenance staff here at this facility. This is replacing a piece of equipment that we had purchased in 2008. We get many years out of it. This is a commercial four-wheel drive tractor with a plow, snow cab, and a mowing unit put on it. The staff has reviewed it. They put the specifications together. This is the piece of equipment they're looking for, and we hope to get 20 years out of this. This was budgeted in our current budget.
I just want to know what brand it is.
This is a Ventrac.
Just kidding, of course. should be orange, you know.
I know. We can paint it orange. We might need to do some Ventrac.
Okay. Looking for a motion.
I move that the purchase of the Ventrac 4520Y tractor with accessories provided by the Spartan Distributors be approved in the amount of $46,178 and authorize the county administrator to sign the purchase order and any other required documents to facilitate the transaction.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I do have a little bit of information on this matter. That is a very good deal. It's almost $5,000 less than the second place bidder for the same tractor, but the second place bidder did put in the bid for a bigger mower, a 72-inch instead of a 60-inch. But my main concern is this heated cab has no air conditioning, and I've had personal experience with that on the farm. Tractor cabs that are heated have no air conditioning in the summer. They get all the way up to 120, 130 degrees inside, and I called the dealership. Air conditioning is not available for this cab. Yeah. And he suggested that we plan on taking the cab off in the spring when we're done plowing snow. It takes about 3 hours to take it off and put it back on in the fall before the snow starts flying. It takes about 4 hours to put it on. And if this motion passes, I'm going to come back with a second motion and suggest that we buy a sunshade for the operator that will fit on that tractor. It's made for the tractor.
Any other discussion? I just out of curiosity, does this second bid have air conditioning?
No. No, it doesn't. No, and the staff have reviewed this. They understand the piece of equipment they're getting. They know the doors will come off. If they need to take the cab off, they will do it. At this time, they don't think the cab will come off, but if it's a hot summer, it will come off. This is the equipment that they were looking for. This is what they bid. They know what they're getting. The deck size is a 60-inch deck. They do have a 72-inch deck. The challenge that we have is transporting the trailer. We have is a 60-inch deck. This mower is going to be used tight spaces around this complex and other complexes we have. So they're comfortable with it. It's their selection, and we think it's the right choice for them.
Okay, any other discussion? Okay, we have a motion and a second. Roll call.
Commissioner Ginnell.
Yes.
Commissioner White.
Yes.
Commissioner Loughbaum.
Yes.
Commissioner Ahrens.
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski.
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes.
Yes.
Commissioner Koontz.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to move that we purchase this optional canopy for the top of this tractor. It's $1,014. Comes with all hardware to mount it. and it matches a tractor. It's made by the same company. It's similar to a golf cart canopy, and it will protect the operator from sun, rain, hail, or maybe fallen tree branches, things like that.
We have a motion on the floor. Hearing no second, the motion dies. We're going to the Parks and Rec facility price increase.
The Parks and Recreation Board has been reviewing their 23 prices and looked at three rentals that we have, one at the Fairgrounds, the Headlands Event Center, and the Camp Petasiga Recreation Hall. The Fairgrounds Center, they were looking at increasing the daily rental, so when you rent the Fairgrounds, you get the Fairgrounds, all the Fairgrounds, from $1,500 to $1,750 per day. They looked at the Headlands Event Center, which is currently at $1,500, and increasing that to $2,000 per day. When you have an event at the Headlands with the limited parking we have, it takes all the parking up, and just the cost to maintain these facilities has gone up. Our staff costs have risen, our electrical, everything has gone up. And the third one that they looked at was at Headlands, at Petasiga, the Recreation Hall at Petasiga. If you want to come in and rent that today, rent that for the day for a birthday party or an event, it's $250. They were looking at that increasing to $300. And then if you're having a wedding, that was taking it from $500 to $600 a day. There's a lot of information behind it. The board went through, looked at residents that are using this versus non-residents. They felt comfortable with the increases, and I'm recommending that for the board tonight.
We have a motion. We're looking for a motion.
I move the board approve the request for the Parks Recreation Board to increase the rental fees at the Headlands Event Center, Camp Petasiga, Recreation Hall, and the Fairground Community Center as proposed.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, let's go ahead with the roll call.
Commissioner Aarons?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Commissioner Coates?
Yes.
Commissioner Lofbaum?
Yes.
Commissioner Mapes?
Yes.
Commissioner Getup?
Yes.
Commissioner Gutowski?
Yes.
We come to the part of the meeting for appointments. First appointment for the DPW board.
Seeing as we had our DPW meeting this last week and made Denny Kaiser the chairman, I move to reappoint Denny Kaiser to the DPW board.
I'll second that.
I think you can do a voice vote, please.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Same sign.
Just a quick question. This is I noticed there was a DPW opening on the county website, and shouldn't have contacted me asking about that, but this would fill that opening.
Correct.
Yeah, okay, yes. Thank you.
I'll let him know.
Was it specific for?
Yeah, so our website, there's a section where it has openings for committees, and somebody contacted me and asked me about the.
As board. A citizens member?
Yeah, you know, and I wasn't sure if this was the, this filled that.
I don't, doesn't, Denny is a you know, he's a supervisor here.
Is there an opening?
It was that his opening.
Was, that was
yes. Opening.
That's what I thought. I just yes. wanted to make sure so I could answer that person.
Yeah.
Okay, so the next one is the Community Corrections Advisory Board.
I would move that we appoint John Steffi to the Community Corrections Advisory Board.
Support.
We have a move and a support, motion and support for John Steffi. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same sign? Motion carries.
Chair, just to clarify, he fits the defense attorney position on that board.
Right. Okay, thank you. Any communications?
I did send one communication. I don't know if you, to all of you that I received, that was asked to direct it to you. So the board received the one communication that I received.
Yes, I believe we all received that. So. Committee reports. Who would like to start?
I'll start if you like. So the Community Corrections Advisory Board covered pretty well in your report there, your administrator's report. The Brownfield Redevelopment Authority met on January 16th. We reviewed the final approval for the work plan for loss at Lumber Square. We're sending the development and reimbursement agreement to legal review and to the City of Petoskey for that same project. We gave consensus for consideration of an Eagle Brownfield grant and loan proposal for the Michigan Maple Block property. And then the Brownfield Redevelopment Revolving Fund policy, we reviewed that and heard recommendations for change from our consultant, and that will be coming back to us at the next meeting. So that's it for my report.
Thank you, Matt. Who's next?
I can do it. So we did have a DPW meeting, and most of the items that we discussed are on the agenda tonight. But we did get a budget update. We got a holiday curbside schedule, which is very similar to what we had used last year. They were able to purchase a new piece of equipment, which is going to be delivered fairly shortly. A new recycling truck. And we did discuss some late companies that have late fees and how they're going to try to secure those funding from those companies, and then she could give us an update on the lithium battery dangers. And then that was the meeting on in July, January 5th. We had a meeting on January 10th for Parks and Rec, and again, some of the items that were already addressed tonight, we addressed at our meeting. We did get a budget update, and we got an extensive list of events presented to us that are going to be happening at all the parks. And we did get a schedule for the locks, or the Crooked River Lock.
All right. Thank you. Who's next? Dave, you want to bring next?
Sure. Regarding following up with Brian on the Parks and Rec, we did receive a 2023 Parks programming schedule and Crooked River Lock schedule. I'm asking the administrator if he can have the Parks Director send those to all the commissioners. Okay. Following up with Matt on the Brownfield, I abstained from the loss of Lunder Square because an organization that I'm a member of will probably be taking over ownership of that. So I recused myself from that discussion for the loss of Lumber Square. The other items, Maple Block and the policies, of course, I was on. The other board that met was today was the North Country Community Mental Health, and we received our annual wellness report, and the CEO gave us some general documents, and we welcome four new board members. So obviously that was the majority of our board meeting today. That's my report.
Okay, thank you, Dave. Who else? Who's next?
I've got the Road Commission. Met on January 6, 2023. Brent commented on handling the storm and how, you know, it kept them all quite busy. There was lots of overtime during that December storm, that Christmas storm. And so they said everything held together. All the trucks remained running, nothing broke. And for the most part, all roads remained passable. There were a couple that they had some issues with, but they had to go back the next day and open up to something a little bit larger. They've been awarding a lot of bids and contracts, and there's also a lot of stuff going out for bid still. So it's going to be a busy spring for them once they get rolling. And then there was various reports from the foremen and the superintendents that followed. And then for Bay Bluffs, we had that meeting today. A lot of stuff going on out there. It's going to be busy couple of months. But one new cases of COVID, the last COVID case was December 27th. There's five employees out sick, but they're non-COVID related. And so that's leading to a lot of overtime for the staff that's trying to plug all those holes. They received their employment funds, $3.3 million that came in, so that's now in their account. They've been looking for that to show up, and it finally did. They applied for three grants, an employee retention grant, a wheelchair washer grant, and an ultraviolet light grant. And then they did receive 100% compliance
from the state on infection control. That just happened most recently. And that's all I have.
Okay. Who's next?
I will share. On January 5th, we had a Planning Commission meeting. It's my first one. And we elected a chair and a vice chair. I was elected vice chair. Although I haven't had Planning Commissioner training, I will cop to have spent 3 years on West Travers Township Board Planning Commission. So I have a little experience. Looking forward to more training. We discussed previous cases that were still pending, and that's pretty much what we did. It was kind of a short meeting as far as Planning Commission meetings go, as from what I've heard. I think it was less than an hour, and I've heard there's five-hour meetings sometimes, so I'm looking forward to more ones that are shorter, hopefully. But with the growth in our county, probably not. I see Tammy shaking her head at me. Silly boy. And I've got meetings coming up still this month. That's what happens.
Okay, thank you, Neil. Chuck?
I had a planning meeting last week, a zoning meeting here just a couple nights ago. It's a zoning meeting. It was only one item on the agenda, and that was the Crooked Lake Yacht Club was requesting a variance for a patio they had built about the size of this platform here. I think they built it by mistake. According to the Emmett County zoning, they built it 5 feet too close to the lake. They were denied that variance. And I have an airport meeting next Tuesday, and Cross Village Township has invited me to their first meeting here coming up. Thanks.
So I had a TAC meeting, and we talked about some of the issues that's coming up and ongoing, and it was a good meeting. We reorganized on the 12th, and on the 17th, Northwest Michigan Health Department, we had to pay the bills. So four of us, one from each county, showed up so that we could pay the bills. And basically, that was the gist of that meeting. And on the 18th, CCE 911, again, a little bit of reorganization and going on with the business as usual, taking care of the business in the three county area. So this morning I drove down to Gaylord for the same meeting, and much the same. We elected officers, and we talked about what was happening in the counties and in northern Michigan. And there's a lot of good happening with SANE, and they're doing a good job. So that's the committees that I've been on. So anything else? Anybody else? I guess it's time for a public comment again.
Okay, so round two here. We finished up with saying that there's good evidence to show that the vaccine was not safe and effective. And why didn't we know? There were massive funds available to keep those who knew the truth, to keep them quiet. Those who did speak up were dealt with. In China, they were disappeared. In the United States, they were fired. Doctors like myself who attempted to publish honest articles were shut down because nothing could get published that in any way was critical of China or critical of the vaccine. Doctors who spoke up often lost their hospital privileges and some lost their medical licenses. In China, many whistleblowers were disappeared and severely dealt with. Many, many news media organizations were bought off with regular monthly payments. The vaccine bioweapon attack continues today. Healthy athletes drop dead on the TV screen sometimes, we've noticed recently, and reports in the news on a daily basis of adverse side effects that are now being proven to be vaccine-related. The vaccine is deadly, but what can be done? In 1976, the swine flu vaccine was stopped by the federal government after only 12 vaccine-related deaths. The evidence should be clear to our politicians. This should be a federal or a state government order, but if not, it is something for which this board may have to deal with it someday in the upcoming year or so, and maybe what was done in 1976 should be done again if we continue to have a problems with vaccine-related deaths and health issues. Who should be responsible for the vaccine debacle? There is substantial evidence of following that are complicit in this. We've all heard these names, Klaus Schwab, Bill Gates, Dr. Fauci, NIH, CDC, World Health Organization, the UN, and thousands of World Economic Forum, sometimes abbreviated WEF, partners, including every big pharma company, with much help from corrupt politicians and mainstream media. Money, 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 much of it going out of the U.S. taxpayers' pocket, has been the oil that keeps this massive cartel operating. You have a very strong, very strong, honest board, and we're all appreciative in this community. I wish I could say the same about our Republican and Democratic national leaders. Working to get together with many informed, concerned citizens, we can stay, we can slay the elephant in this room.
Thank you. Anybody else for public comment? Come on up.
I'm Sue Vandeventer, and I live in the city in Petoskey. I'd like to speak to the comments made by the gentleman who was critical of the recount process. I also attended that event and have a different assessment of what took place. First of all, I would not describe the procedural errors that were revealed at that event as disturbing, but as human errors that had zero impact on the outcome of the election. They were mistakes in process that can easily be rectified. As for the Board of Canvassers, their only duty is to certify the vote for their county, period. They don't conduct recounts or other investigations. Protocol for elections is extremely complicated and has to be standardized throughout the state, and it was appropriate for the state to conduct the recount. Canvassers weren't being nice to their friends. They were operating within the realm of their responsibility, as was everyone else involved in the process that day. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else for public comment? Hearing none, we're going to announcements. The next meeting of the Board of Commissioners will be held here February 6th, 2023 at 6 p.m. And we'll see everybody there. Motion for adjournment?
So moved.
Motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.